before there is a special recovery summit taking place at Downing Street. I think they're gathering as we speak, between the Health Secretary, the Prime Minister, Treasury Secretary or someone from Treasury, and then senior leaders, you know, of the NHS and indeed outside the NHS, to try and see if there's a fix, at least an immediate fix, to the problems going on at the moment. It strikes me as if this probably, I'm stating the obvious here, needs more than just a lunchtime summit. This is something much more broad. It's about the nature of the health service. It's about, you know, where the funding will come on in the future with an ageing population, especially when that ageing population is hit by the double whammy of something like flu and COVID. So big things that need to be tackled here, because if we don't feel safe in our health service, if we don't feel safe enough to be ill enough, then we've got a big problem and that needs to be fixed. So what do you think is that fix? What would you like to hear from the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak? 0345 6060 973. Now, my next guest on this is called Richard Sloggett. He's a former special advisor to, yes, one Matt Hancock, former health secretary. He's now the programme director of the Future Health Research Centre. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Matt.
It's good to speak to you. So what I'm trying to sort of do there is set up a wider context of what needs to be done to fix the NHS. Rishi Sunak has said very clearly in a speech just a few days ago that it will still be free at the point of service. It will still be funded by the taxpayer. There will be no creeping privatisation of the NHS, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think, and you think about these things a lot, what do you think needs to be done to give us much more fundamental reform of this service that seems to have been brought to its knees?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things. I think today's sort of, they're calling it a forum, but you can call it a summit, as you say. I think today's thing focuses very, very short term. So there's a series of roundtable events going on at number 10. There's a discussion on social care. There's a discussion on urgent and emergency care, elective care, primary care. This is like in the here and now. And I think obviously the challenges that we've seen, you know, in this January mean that this is very much top of the Prime Minister's intro. But you're right, this is not just an NHS crisis, this is a healthcare crisis. So we've just come out of a pandemic, and there is a need, I think, to not only look at the short term, but also how have we got here, and how do we look, you know, ahead more strategically about how we plan and manage our health services. And I think that there's two elements, Matt, which we've overlooked in recent years. One is social care. And if you look at the challenges right now in the NHS, a lot of those are related to social care. We have 13,000 patients in hospital who could be discharged but are unable to be, and that is a social care challenge. And there's also a public health challenge, which we saw during COVID. As a population, our population health is not as good as it could be. We've got problems with obesity, mental health, and other issues that we need to tackle. So we can't just see this as a narrow NHS crisis. There is a crisis, of course, right here, right now, but that longer-term strategic review needs to include public health and social care.
Okay, so on the issue of social care, I think we've established that you cannot fix the NHS without fixing social care because of, as you described, the numbers of beds being occupied by people who should be in care and not in the health service. In terms of, you know, the preventative care, exercise, diet, I mean, there's a little bit being done by the government here, but not nearly as much. Do you think they should be far more aggressive, intrusive, if you like, in their messaging to the public?
I think there needs to be a lot more assertive action on public health. I think that needs to be one of the legacies from COVID, actually, which is what we saw through COVID was actually if you were in poorer health, you were more likely to suffer from COVID. So I think one of the legacies we need to take from that is to be much more assertive in our public health messaging and public health action. So we've had lots of promises around doing more, for example, on obesity. Latest obesity data was out in December that shows that 2/3 of the population is either overweight or obese. Current government action, I would say, doesn't stack up to that level of challenge, and the problem is only getting worse. Now, if you look at the data, take obesity as an example, the number of hospital admissions related to obesity have gone up sevenfold since 2009-2010. So we've got people going into hospital as a result of their obesity, which is, again, putting pressure on those health services. So I think the government should be doing a lot more on public health. It's often the issue that drops down the list of priorities when you're facing that immediate NHS crisis. But we've got to be doing more on the public health and prevention space.
And are they not doing it, Richard, because they are, you know, this is ideologically, they're ideologically opposed to it, because that's the nanny state intruding in our private lives. They've done plenty of that, of course, with COVID. They were telling us, you know, who to see, who not to see, you know, whether to stay at home or not, which was deeply unpopular with many people. Do you think COVID and lockdowns have made them lose their appetite for that degree of public intervention that's required?
Yeah, I think this is a really excellent point, because I think on the one hand you could say, well, we learned a lot on public health through COVID, we should be doing a lot more on public health, but is there actual public health fatigue both in the government and in the population, which means that actually bringing forward new measures in some of these other areas that I've mentioned makes it hard? And I would say it probably does. It also, when you're facing that in government, an immediate short-term crisis, you've only got so much bandwidth in which to operate. So, and public health often isn't just a Department of Health problem, right? It includes the Home Office, the Department for the Environment, lots of other sort of moving parts that you've got to often coordinate and corral, which can be quite challenging. When you're facing an immediate NHS crisis, given how important the NHS is as a political issue, you often jump in with 2 feet into that. So I think there's a combination of fatigue and bandwidth, which create a challenge in terms of bringing forward new public health measures. And look, the government does have a majority, but its majority, and Rishi Sunak's room for manoeuvre on some of these measures, is more complicated, and there is a degree of backbench hostility to more sort of state-backed interventions on public health, which he probably is going to find it quite difficult to challenge at the moment.
But at the same time, one could say that, you know, this is a government that is, you know, if the opinion polls, and they are pretty consistent, are accurate, faces extinction at the next election. So why not throw out all the cards? Why not roll the dice on a really big visionary reform of the social care sector, of the health sector, of public health? They've got nothing to lose because they've lost so much already.
So I would actually agree with you that you need to be doing both the short-term delivery and the longer-term thinking and setting out and trajectory. You can't just do the short-term, because otherwise you're just going to go round and round in a circle of crisis, and you need to be setting out what that longer-term vision looks like. And if you take the first sort of point that you made around Rishi Sunak's commitments to a taxpayer-funded NHS, free at the point of use for all of us, the only way you will deliver that is if you make it sustainable through investment in those other component parts. You've got to do the public health measures and you've got to do the social care measures. Otherwise, we will keep going around each winter and it will get worse.
What about doing something, you know, like the Germans have done, you know, or the Italians or the French, which is a combination of public and private? Private health insurers stepping in, you know, beyond a certain salary level in order to help the public sector out.
So I think it's a big distraction for us, because I think the upheaval it will cause would take lots of time and effort, which we don't have. And I think even if you're looking longer term, I think the fundamental model that we have, which is the free at the point of use model, is the right model. The questions that politicians and policymakers need to be asking is, how do we get the pounds that are going in to work most effectively? And there's a lot of opportunity there to do things differently, given the population that we have and the workforce constraints that we have. And you've got to look at more integrated models of care. We've got, currently care is quite siloed between the GPs, the hospitals and social care. We've got to try and bring that together. That involves things like big data, bringing together data sets and information. And also there is a degree of what responsibilities we want citizens to take through the use of new digital and data to actually, you know, engage with their health in a different way and not just rely on necessarily on, you know, turning to the NHS. So, and those are a big set of conversations. But as I said, one of the big challenges we have at the moment is the bandwidth of government is very, very limited.
Right.
And as a result, the short term trumps the longer term stuff.
So what you're really saying, Richard, if we were to kind of fashion a message here from the government, is if the government said to the people, you want this thing fixed, you want it free at the point of service, you need to do your bit, which is the public health message.
Yeah, so I think there is a degree of that alongside, obviously, look, it is the contract between the citizen and the state on health. So from the state perspective, this is what we will provide. These are the services that we will provide free at the point of use. And then as a citizen, here are your responsibilities. We're going to provide you with information, messages. The NHS app was amazing during COVID as a tool to engage with the population. And you've got to do both bits. You can't just rely on one or the other. So I think it's that kind of like, what's our contract between citizen and state on health for the future, which is the sort of conversation of reform we need to be having.
Very good point. Richard Slugger, thanks very much for joining us. Tons of calls.